Okay, so welcome back to episode 66.
Part two. You guys are listening to the Sensory Project Show with Rachel and Jessica and our friend Amber, who, if you listened to our previous episode, you know her very well by now. And we cannot wait to share this second part of the interview with you guys.
And here we go.
Welcome to the Sensory Project Show with Rachel and Jessica. We're here to share all things sensory, occupational therapy, parenting, self-care, and overall health and wellness from a therapist's perspective, providing raw, honest, fun ideas and strategies for parents and families to implement into daily life. Thank you so much for joining us.
Just a quick reminder before we get started. If you haven't listened to our interview with Alex Doman from Advanced Brain Technologies yet, you need to check it out ASAP. Because after we interviewed him, we teamed up with him and his team to bring you guys a special offer on any of their products, including the listening program. Just head over to our website, thesensoryproject.com/pages/podcast, to get started today. And then you can use our code, thesensoryproject, for a discount on any of their programs. We're both certified providers and can help you experience the amazing benefits that come from ABT's programs.
Oh, and we wanted to remind you guys that we have our membership site, The Sensory Project Club, and it is alive and thriving. We are sharing resources, handouts, templates, guides, how-to videos. Oh my word, we could go on and on because we are sharing all the things with our members. So if you want to become a member, just go to thesensoryprojectclub.com and get signed up. We cannot wait to see you guys in there. So we had the opportunity to interview Amber, who is a mother, a wife, an advocate, an inspiration.
Superhero.
Yes. And there's so much to take away from these episodes. Let's just get started.
Okay. Let's do it.
Parenting special needs children, a lot of families feel guilt at the thought of even parenting them because they will learn, or they're like, well, they're having a hard time, or they're going through this. And I'm like, well, you and I don't get that.
Yes.
And we still have to hold them accountable, and we still have to raise the bar because they will meet that bar.
Absolutely.
And it's always so hard for me because I think in the same way we look at society and as parents, we get angry when it's like, oh, you're discriminating against my child, or you're judging my child, or all these things that we feel as parents when people look at our special needs children. That's actually, if you're not training up and teaching and correcting and guiding your child, you're doing the same thing that the society is doing
Absolutely.
To them, because you're crippling them further.
Yeah.
And I just think, don't cripple them. They can do what more than you could ever possibly imagine.
Totally.
I mean, my husband and I are so, we're just goofballs about our kids because they do something. We're just like, did you see that? We're like elbowing each other and smiling at each other. And they're 18 and 13.
Yeah.
It's not like when your infant gets all excited. Like, that's how we've been from day one, because we are just so excited to see
what they're capable
of. When things click. Yeah. When Luke first rode a trike, it took two of us, hand over hand. He was pedaling his feet for him, and I was steering him with his hands.
Man.
And it was a push thing. Six months.
Of doing that.
And then one day, he was like,
all by himself.
Yeah. And it was like, and then that turned in from one of those little trikes. So we're talking like a toddler trike.
Yeah.
Plasticky, you know, that you can turn it to a rocking thing versus, you know, we're talking from that to a tandem bike on the greenbelt, from a tandem bike to a giant adult trike, and now, 2 years ago, thanks to a local, actually it's a national organization called I Can Bike.
Yes!
And now from the giant adult trike to a two-wheeler.
Oh,
and
my word.
And
he was 16 when that happened?
I think so, yes. I think so. He was the first to launch at the camp because he was already ready.
Wow.
He was so ready because he already knew greenbelt etiquette. He could steer. I mean, he was so, like, you know, and his spatial awareness is insane. He's just,
wow.
I mean, he never bumps into anything. He comes this far. And when he swings, and he just is so aware. And everyone's like, he's gonna, and I'm like, he just doesn't, never.
Yeah, he won't.
And anyway, and so the second day, like at the end of the second day, I think he launched, and they were moving him from pin to pin. That they have these pins that they put on the back, they take off the back wheel. And they get smaller and smaller to where it's, because you're kind of wobbly, it simulates, you know, your learning, but they get smaller and smaller. And when they would take them off, he was going so fast around this huge gym that they took it off and like, oh my gosh, it's hot. It's really hot. It's so hot.
Wow.
Because he was just, he's on fire. He's so athletic.
He really is.
He's a seeker.
Yeah.
So I tell people, I'm like, there's avoiders. And because everyone has assumptions.
Yeah.
It's like, not every child on the spectrum is the same.
Exactly.
And it's exhausting, but the reality of parenting special needs children is you do have to explain yourself repetitively.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You have to explain your children repetitively if you want to change the world, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah.
And some days there's bad days where you just don't feel like explaining.
Oh,
you know, Maddie, he can't see very well, but he has his head down. Oh, is he sleeping? And I'm like, no, he's not sleeping. He's awake. You can say hi.
Yeah.
You know, so anyway, but yeah.
That's I can't believe that he learned to ride that bike.
Oh, yeah. That and is so amazing. We went into the bike shop. We were like, we're not going to spend a lot of money. And he did so well. We're like, we're going to get him a nice bike.
Oh,
yes. It's like a cruiser mixed with, it's got like gears.
Yeah.
And he just, he does so good. And his greenbelt etiquette is amazing.
Because we started when he was young.
And you didn't give up when he couldn't do it.
No, and it was instruction and it was structure and it was, no, you can't do this or come back here.
Yep.
And it wasn't that I see parents do this too. They like a typical child, you give them the direction or the directive and they don't respond and you give up. With kids like this, you have to walk over, take their body,
basically
turn it towards them,
pin
their eye contact, and hand over hand do the correct action. For Luke, the biggest, most impacting way that he learns is errorless learning. So when he
is
learning, errorless learning.
Errorless learning.
So you walk through the process of whatever you're teaching him. So like if you want, like the first day of school, we wanted him to learn how to get his key off the rack, go to his locker, unlock his locker, put his stuff away, and go back. You do it the exact way you want it done, hand over hand with him the first time, the second time, the third time, and then you pull back the prompting a little bit, prompt fading, little bit by little bit, and then, you know, but if you do it without that for Luke, and you just are barking orders at him, he's confused, and then he's it's a failure set, and he's discouraged, and he whines, and he has a meltdown.
Yeah.
So all of us want to know the correct way to do something. We all want to be successful, and these kids just they thrive in success, and when they're successful, they want more, and they crave more, and they become more independent, and it's just, I mean, that's been Luke's story.
How old was he when you figured out the errorless learning?
Well, so we started, I was actually discouraged by, a therapist about ABA, so applied behavior analysis, because she felt that it was like dog training. But I will tell you, it did miracles for Luke, and it's just positive reinforcement, drills, discrete trial. Everything is presented in a very structured environment, controlled, and it was amazing for Luke. And the second, that's where we found out the errorless learning.
We just
took one thing at a time, and the very first things he learned was to sit in a chair for 20 seconds. Because he would not, I mean, he just, you know, to make eye contact for 5 seconds, to, you know, push a car. I mean, it was the basic stuff. So I actually, with my kids, I push really far, and I go to the top. Whoever is the expert, I find them, and I'm like, we're going to be good friends.
Oh, I love
and,
it.
So the guy that created ABA, his name is Evarlo Voss, and he wrote a book, and I don't remember the name of it off the top of my head. The first book, I think the first edition was called The Me Book, and I learned so much from him, and I actually called his center, and I track down his wife.
Oh my God.
You!
Because I was like, well, because people were trying to do pecs with him, and some of the pecs pictures were, as you guys know, I'm sure, some of them are very unclear.
Yeah.
And I just thought, if I'm trying to teach him something, I feel like, especially communication, it needs to be very clear. Mm-hmm. So her advice to me was to pair it, so to laminate it with a real picture and the pec, and then eventually you could fade the picture when they understood.
I gotcha.
But now there are symbol sticks, which I'm a much bigger fan of. Okay. It's more modern and more relevant, mm-hmm. and the pictures make a lot more sense to me.
How funny.
But, so anyway, yeah, so that's where we learned about errorless learning, and I learned about ABA, and, but the second thing that had made the biggest impact, was, relationship development.
Yes.
So the Greenspan method.
Yes.
I'm a huge fan of that too. So I feel like the paired between ABA, and there's a name for when you pair ABA with RDI, and
yeah.
I don't know.
Is it floor, DIR floor time?
Something like that. I think so. But when you pair those, it's so powerful because you have to develop relationship for kids on the spectrum.
Yeah.
But you also have to have very
strict,
not a controlled teaching environment to create success. So yeah, I think that it was just, I want to say it was trial and error, but I really feel like it was divine intervention every step of the way for Luke. It was amazing the people that were put into our life, into our path. And I mean, and there are also times as a mom, I had instincts and I was like, this isn't the right fit.
Mm-hmm.
And
so important to listen to those.
I just want parents to know that it's okay to disagree
with
a professional. It's okay to disagree with a nurse or a physician. It's okay to say, it's okay to work as a team, and that's what it is. And if you are ever in a position where you don't feel like it's a team, then you are in the wrong place.
Yes.
So
yeah, you have to listen to that intuition.
Mm-hmm. You do.
Yeah.
Like everywhere else in the world, like, is everyone feeling great this morning? And it's like, no. I kicked my dog. I'm kind of mad. My kids had meltdowns. We've had 2 seizures.
Yeah. Like,
you know, can we just connect?
Yes.
And then ask me how I am.
Yes.
Because that's what I need.
There
you know?
You go.
It's not like my emotions cannot drive me because they will just put me around. And I'm not gonna lie, they do. It's a battle for me. But it is a big thing for me to, you have to decide where you wanna go.
Yeah.
Because it's gonna just yank you around. They're going to yank you around if you don't choose. On a side note, and this is, I think, for parents that have kids that are medically fragile or that have autism, a meltdown can be violent in our house. It's big, it's loud, he hops, he screams, and it's actually gotten a lot worse, I think, in relation to the epilepsy.
Oh,
I think there's just neurological things that are just, I can't fix.
Yeah.
And it is heartbreaking. It's probably one of the hardest things we deal with besides our little guy and like his seizures, and because you just want to stop it.
Yeah.
And it invokes in you fight or flight.
Yes.
Because someone big is coming at you. And I think these families are amazing because we are told, our body is telling us to literally like brace and fist fight,
mm-hmm.
because someone's, you
coming
know what I mean?
At you.
And we have to literally choose to suppress that. And just,
it's not natural.
It's not natural. And I'm like, I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I didn't flip out. I can't believe I did. And sometimes I do get angry and I'm like, stop, enough, quiet.
Yeah.
You know, or I keep saying, go to your room. And he comes out and screams, go to your room. Because I just am like, wherever he's safe, and then I have to listen for if he like hits his head,
mm-hmm.
or anything like that. That's pretty rare. That's when I know something else is going on.
If he hits his head.
So self-injury has been Luke's biggest. So he does not, thankfully, is not aggressive most of the time because, and I will say this, he would be disciplined, and we were like, it was unacceptable in our house. Because I think, autism or not, you will not be violent with people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that parents need to realize they can do that.
Yeah.
You can't just say, my child has autism, they don't understand, so they can hit people. Because what I was told, thankfully, by a very good friend who was therapist at the time, a behavior interventionist. I was like, well, he doesn't feel good, or he's upset, and he's this, excuses, and all valid. But she said, what are you going to do when he's 16 years old and bigger than you? Are you going to let this slide now? Or are you going to do something about it now?
Mm-hmm.
And it was the hardest thing I had to hear. But from that moment on, I was like, I'm going to do something now, because I don't know what he's going to be like when he's 16. But if I can see now, if I don't reel this in every way possible that I know how, with all the tools and the people that I've been given,
it's going to be out of control.
It's going to be out of control. And then you have kids that have to go in a group home. Then you have kids that have to be dealt with law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
And all because it's an excuse.
Mm-hmm.
They have special needs. I'm like, no, they have like different abilities.
Yeah.
But they are special, but they still can still function in society.
They can still learn with
accommodations. They still need accommodations. They still need help. But you just can't be violent. We're not allowed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You can't be violent. You can't be sexually
inappropriate. They thrive with those expectations.
They really do. Like, you know, I mean, it's just, there's a lot of things that we just all can't just go around doing. You know? And they have to live within those boundaries too, and it's okay. So anyway, but Luke's meltdowns are, they look a lot different. They're a lot louder. I think that in public, it's kind of scary for people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you have to be really careful with that. I've read some pretty sad headlines. I think you need to keep your child close to you when they're having a public meltdown. I think you need to take them to somewhere safe. I take Luke to the van and I let him sweat it out there. I stand right by the van. Or we go for a walk. If there's a place where he can go for a walk, and he has to sit down. Sometimes he'll throw himself on the ground. But if he's hopping and screaming and people are uncomfortable and they don't understand, the reality that my husband and I have talked about is somebody could take that wrong and they could become violent themselves.
Sure.
And we live in such a volatile, impulsive, reactive society right now. I read at a Costco, I don't know where it was, I think it was in Texas, a guy had his baby with him, and there was like a 25-year-old with some kind of developmental delay. I don't know if he's on the spectrum, but I think they called it like a intellectual disability.
Mm-hmm.
And he was upset or something. And because the man was protective of his child, I don't know, I think the guy just like grabbed him, the special needs guy grabbed him, and something happened and he shot him.
Oh my God.
What?
And he shot his parents. So think about,
oh my God,
think about those parents, how they're going to wake up when they come out of, and I just think,
oh my gosh,
I think of me and I think I've poured my life into my children, and I want it. And that part, and this is where my anger comes in. Your child is not more special than mine.
Mm-hmm.
All of our children are special and valued. So stop being paranoid. These kids aren't going to kill you. They're not going to hurt you. Have some understanding. Get online. If you want to get online and Google your medical symptoms, for Pete's sake, get online and Google autism. Get online and Google how to handle certain situations. You know, I mean, you can learn anything. It is unacceptable to react with such chaos.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just unacceptable. And it grieves me. It didn't need to happen. It didn't need to happen. Mm-hmm. And I honestly hope that he is dealt with the full force of the law, because that, even though he was 25, was somebody else's baby.
Yes.
And people don't realize that with kids that are older. It's like the cuteness and all that stuff fades away. They are still just as valued by so many people. And
wow.
I just want to encourage people, like, when your child's having a meltdown, you need to keep them. I wouldn't even let go of their arm until you get to a safe place.
Mm-hmm.
Because you just don't know how people are going to react. And
unfortunately, you have to think about those things nowadays.
You really do. And it's sad. But, I just get Luke to a safe place until he calms down. And it's a lot of deep breathing. It's a lot of reminding him. He does a lot of the first and then. So first we'll be calm and then we can go back into the storm.
Mm-hmm.
First you have a quiet voice and then we can...
And your voice is quiet like that when you
they say that, and I have my husband and I have both noticed, and I'm so thankful for him, because when I'm not doing okay, he can handle it.
Yeah,
when he's not doing okay, I can handle it.
You guys are a good team.
We are a great team, and but you get lower and calmer. You know, that's what you need to be so neutral with during a meltdown. You don't want to get on the roller coaster with them because it just makes things so much worse. They need to know that you're in control of your, like, and they not in control lean of the situation, but that you're in control of yourself, that you're okay. Then they're going to be okay.
Yes.
But if they're like, you're not okay, oh my gosh, it's not okay.
Well, we feed off each other's emotions, and children to parents especially.
It is. I remember watching my mom cry when I was a kid, and it was devastating to me. And I was terrified.
Yeah.
I was like, something's really wrong. And so now I don't want my kids to see me cry. But instead, when Luke sees me cry, or Maddie sees me cry, I just say, he looks at me and I can tell he's concerned. Uh-huh. And he's looking at me and I say, yeah, buddy, mom's sad, but it's going to be okay. And then he's okay. But, you know, we can be real with our kids, but I think ideally, if we're just honest that we're not okay, but that it's going to be okay, you know?
It always is, you know? It's always going to be okay.
And the last time I cried, he took a Kleenex.
No.
And he was sitting next to me, and he wiped me.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm just like...
Oh. I'm crying right now. Can I just tell you?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And there was one other day I actually wrote it down. I write these things down. We were in the car and he never sits in front because it's just not routine. And I was crying and it was a hard day. It was a really hard day. Just like the tears were coming, you know, and I was just heavy. My spirit was just really heavy. And he took my hand and linked it with me and squished it. And then he turned the music up really loud and he was rocking.
Oh my gosh.
And the song that was on, I don't want to sing on here, but it says, there could never be a more beautiful you. And I just was like, these kids have so, you see something that I cannot explain when you have them and these families as a part of your life. You just would never even catch these things if you didn't have these families as a part of your life. So, I mean, they make me see things that I would have never seen all the time.
Well, they're so intuitive, regardless of how much they can communicate. They are so intuitive.
And we should always assume competence. That's what I was told by a very good therapist that was with Luke for a long time. She teaches special ed and always assume competence.
I completely agree. Mm-hmm. We were just talking about this in one of our episodes about, like, not talking about things that a child does poorly in front of them.
Yeah.
Even if a child is nonverbal, right?
Yes.
They can still understand what you're saying.
They hear you. Yep. They can't communicate that to you.
And I think that's probably one of the downfalls. My husband and I really fall short in that area. When you are surrounded by your children every second of every day, it's not like if you're arguing or if you're having a hard time, like, okay, we're going to go in here for a while. Or, you know, and we do. We step out if we're, like, arguing. But we're talking about their cares and we're talking about people in their sphere. And we're talking about a lot of things that we really probably shouldn't be talking about in front of them. It's just really hard to disconnect that when you're always with them.
Around.
Totally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's something, an area of growth that we need to work on.
We all do.
Yeah.
I do want to talk a little bit about the guardianship just because I know that it's a really challenging thing to overcome mentally. And then just with getting along with the legal side of it, going through that, I've had a couple of families want to start that process and not know how to navigate it. And it's expensive and it's time consuming and it's emotionally exhausting.
It sure is. So I was told, thankfully, by someone, you need to get started a year in advance. That's true, because your child is going to need a neuropsych eval. And the wait list in town, I think there's one place is 6 to 8 months and one place is 12 to 18 months. So depending on your area, you need to start a year in advance. You get an attorney. And I think here in Idaho, it was about $4,000 total for us.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
So you get your own attorney and then the court appoints an attorney for your child, which I say that sarcastically because I think it's ridiculous. Because when you have a family that wants to assume care of their child, you should support them.
Yes.
The state should support them because otherwise, what's the other option? And that would fall on the burden of the state.
Absolutely.
So anyway, so there are 5 parts, at least in Idaho, because I know this is not just Idaho specific, right?
Yes.
There are 5 parts of the transition, that we went through that is a part of usually every kid's transition. There's guardianship, so the legal side of acquiring guardianship, or power of attorney. We did full guardianship because Luke is not verbal. Mm-hmm. I think if you have a higher functioning kiddo, you might be able to do what they call guided decision making or power of attorney. Mm-hmm. So there's guardianship, then there's the transition in education from high school to what is called the STEP program here, the 18 to 21 program. Yes. It's not always available everywhere. And then there is developmental disability services transition. So you go from services like habilitative support, or just like mm-hmm. another word. I don't know what they use everywhere for that, but like
HI.
Just like,
a community support worker or something like that.
Exactly. Yeah. So you're transitioning that to adult. And thankfully in Idaho, they just moved the ability for you to get HI from now. We can get it until 21. Mm. So I'm super excited because Luke does not thrive with the lower skill set of just like a personal care service or a habilitative support. The turnover is so high. And for a kid on the spectrum, for any kid with a developmental disability, that turnover rate is too much.
Yeah.
So, so you've got the guardianship, school transition, developmental disability service transition. Here in Idaho, you also have the option to become a certified family home. We've chosen to do it. We're trying it on. It's super... It made guardianship look like nothing.
Really?
Getting certified. Basically, you can get paid to do all the cares.
I gotcha.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, be a caregiver for your own child.
Be a caregiver for your own child. And they come and certify your home. But you have to go through. And for guardianship, too, you have to get fingerprinted, background checked. You have to do a guardianship care plan, a big care plan to the judge of what the next year of their life is going to look like. You have to turn in yearly reports. So,
oh goodness.
Wow. I kind of thought it would all be over after we did it, and it's not. It's not. This is a new season. Mm-hmm. And I'm frustrated about it, but it's reality. Yeah. So there's a certified family home, and then the last thing is a Social Security transition. Mm-hmm. So if your child is on SSI and it's based on your income, they transition to just normal Social Security, where it's not based on your income at all.
Interesting.
It's just based on their disability, and they get a set amount. So it doesn't, you know, go up and down.
Yes.
So there's five pieces essentially to the transition. And of course you can choose not to get developmental disability service, choose not to do certified family home. So those are all options. Those two things are options, but
you go big or go home.
I really do. My counselor told my husband that I love big. I cried when I heard that because I was like, I really do. And I was like, he could have said a lot worse.
No,
he said you love big, and I do. So it just, anyway, so guardianship is just, it takes endurance. It is not a marathon. It is, what is it? It's not a sprint. It's a marathon.
Yeah.
And you have to meet with the Department of Health and Welfare, and they have a committee meeting with your child. It's called an evaluation committee meeting.
Oh,
and they ask
geez.
Them questions.
Oh, dear.
And we had an amazing attorney, and they prep you for these meetings. And the guardian ad litem, which is the court-appointed guardian for your child, comes and meets your child and asks them questions as well. And we actually had a very smooth process because I had it was on a silver platter to every person I interacted with. I was ready, and they got what they needed, and everything was thorough. And the Department of Health and Welfare actually copy and pasted most of my report because it was so thorough.
Oh, gosh.
And the meeting that was supposed to be 2 hours was 35 minutes.
Oh, wow.
So, can I say that?
Yeah.
Be prepared for everything.
There it is.
With Social Security, with hospitalizations, with everything, come prepared. I have binders, and they all have tabs. The tabs are my favorite.
Oh.
I type the tabs.
Oh, I love
it. It's so important to be prepared because it's going to create more work for you later, because if you don't have the answer, you don't have something at your fingertips, you're going to have to do it later.
Yeah.
So I'm all about work hard, and then I get to play later, because I can't relax when something's hanging over my head.
Yes.
So if I check it off, I'm like, yes, then I'm done.
I'm the same way.
And yeah, so it's just, it's okay. It's better. I'm sorry. It's not just okay. It's actually better to just be organized and prepared and ask in advance, what do you need? Ask in advance. And if you get a name, take the name and ask that person. I always have a go-to name. I always find out who's the top at whatever and whatever entity I'm involved with so that I have a go-to name, because in like our a
point
world
of contact.
Exactly. In our world, you can just it's a wild goose chase. Mm-hmm. Call this person. And I mean, I could tell you I've spent countless hours on the phone with insurance companies and doctors and, you know, in application processes and just all these things. I mean, half of the life of a special needs mom, I feel like, is
on the phone,
spent with paperwork and on the phone. And
I think that's very accurate.
So be prepared, make copies, always have your own set of something. Don't give your stuff away.
Yeah.
I sounds terrible, but I trust no one with our, you know, I don't trust people to do what they say they're going to do. I just am always preemptive. I'm always, because it's never served me well for my kids to wait.
To just put it on the back burner.
And to put it on the back burner, because a lot of times nowadays, I don't feel like people are always great about returning emails, returning calls, and all that stuff. And you're like, it just, you know, so just go first, you know, go first. Like just
do it.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Don't wait for other people, because
you'll be waiting all year.
Because they're not pro your child. You are pro your child. Yes. Mm-hmm. So they don't have their best interest and the timeline of their development and all the services they need, you know. So some people are like, gosh, I've been waiting 2 months to hear back. I'm like, I think, why didn't you call them after 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Because that's how I am. I'm like, did you get my paperwork? Did you get my application? Okay, what's the status now? I need a timeline.
Yeah. Well, and that's something I tell families too. They'll tell me they're waiting on the doctor or they're waiting on whoever. And I'm like, well, you should probably go out and call them right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Take
stop
this
waiting
time while
them.
I'm working with your child. Yeah. You have a minute to breathe. Make your phone calls while your child
and
is in
the things that you have that you need, or the things that you don't have that you need, are, my husband doesn't agree with this mindset, but
no.
I say, like, you have not because you ask not, and it never hurts to ask.
Mm-hmm.
If you are lacking something, make your needs known to people, like to the nurse. I'm like, they're like, well, you need to call the other office and get a referral. And I'm like, please, I have spent hours on the phone. Would you please make that phone call for me? Or, you know, I mean, when you're just at your, like it's okay to ask. Yes. It's so okay to ask. And I feel like these parents have a free pass a lot. I mean, their lives are just constantly, so many people get to clock in and clock out. We never get to clock
not
out.
True.
So it's okay to ask for help. And
yes.
It's okay. You know, my husband, I always say it never hurts to ask. And he's like, sometimes it does hurt to ask. And I'm like, so someone will be mad at me and say no? I'm okay with that.
They're going to get over it.
And then I know. And I'm like, great, thanks. So we can move on, be friends, whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, if they're mad, it's, you know, I just, that being said, I feel like we're really blessed through every you're about guardianship. It is really expensive. We had some amazing friends fundraise for us.
Oh,
and we had an anonymous, so we have medications for Luke that aren't paid for. We have some things that are out of pocket, you know, things, respite, medical bills, the guardianship. And, they had put a cap of $15,000 that they wanted to raise. And we had an anonymous donor with a check for $13,000.
Oh my gosh.
And their message to us
was
to continue walking out our journey because we don't know who we're impacting by just living our life.
Oh.
I'm gonna cry again.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
so I don't know. I'm not gonna lie, it's hard to not want to give up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But what if something was just about to happen before you gave up? But I feel like that's when the start of my phone, like, something's about to happen.
But look where that's gotten you.
Okay, I'm just going to keep going, you know?
But look where that's gotten you, though, having that mindset to just keep pushing and keep pushing.
And I just think, as communities, please, for the love, support these families.
Mm-hmm.
Their bodies are just trashed. Their minds are fatigued and exhausted. I was reading about PTSD in parents, and that it keeps their children alive, but at what expense?
Yes.
So when the parents have PTSD, it's keeping their medically fragile children alive, but what is the expense? And that is the story of my life. Mm-hmm. I am in constant fight or flight mode.
Yeah.
My sleep is irregular. I wake up in the middle of the night with all those things on my mind and my heart pounding on my, out of my chest. I have acid reflux. I have heart palpitations, and I have all these things that have started when you're young. You're like, okay, that's not, but actually after a while, I mean, stress ages you. And I know they've done studies that it actually changes your cell structure. Mm-hmm. Stress changes your cell structure. So these families, I know there are other studies that compare autism moms when they deal with meltdowns in their lives to combat soldiers. Because if you think about it, someone's literally trying to fight you, and they're big, and they're loud, and it's a lot.
And it's all the time. Yeah.
And then you go into an IEP meeting, you've got people fighting you. And then you go into a doctor appointment, you've got people fighting you. And then you've got an insurance company you're fighting. And then sometimes marriages are collapsing. Mm-hmm. And you go to church and you're fighting. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm so passionate, because this place where you're supposed to find healing should be completely that. There should be no more obstacles. Mm-hmm. My husband has inflammation and I have, back problems, and it after a while, it's not just, especially these medically fragile families. Like, I have on my blog 12 ways to love a special needs family, and they're practical tools that, bring them dinner, just be with them, be okay with struggle, take them out to do something normal. Take them to do something normal. We want normalcy.
Yeah.
Just as much as anyone else. Mm-hmm. That's why we take our kids out. Because we're still trying and striving to participate in this, and a lot of people have given up because they've had so many negative experiences, and we can totally change that. Like, it doesn't have to be that way. And so many people in our sphere are changing that. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is why I am who I am. That's why our family has come as far as it has, because people are like, no, we're not giving up on you. Why? Or, they're like me. They're like, I'm not taking no for an answer, And some people just do things for us because you ask parents what you need, and I don't think they even know. No. Half the time. Yeah. I'm like, what do you need? I don't really know.
Well, and so many people, like parents, they're focused on their child 100% of the time, and they don't stop and think, oh, what do I need? What do I want? Yeah. Because it's so focused on helping their children or their child thrive that no one ever thinks to say, what do you need?
Yeah.
Let's go get a pedicure,
When I get my hair done, I'm just like, it's like once every couple of years, or a manicure or a pedicure. I mean, it's a big deal, I mean, my mom came into town and she bought me 2 brows, and I've been like, I think probably 3 years.
It's those simple things.
And it's not sometimes for lack of money. It's literally like, there's so much guilt surrounding doing something for yourself. Mm-hmm. I see new bras and I'm like, okay, no. I'll buy it. Lucas is such a big eater. I just he needs food, right? Yeah. Or, there's just so much guilt around it. And the stuff for your kids is not likely not going to go away soon. So do what you need to now for yourself to be okay in this moment, to get you through this day and the next day and the next day, and sometimes that means things aren't perfect. Mm-hmm. They're not ideal.
Yeah.
That's a hard lesson for me. So like when I leave my kids with someone that's not totally perfect, that's so hard for me.
Yeah.
Because it's not because I'm controlling, it's because I don't want to clean up a mess later.
Yes.
So I guess sometimes you have to decide, am I just going to take this time or do this thing now, or am I going to suffer later, and I don't know. I think that it's sometimes it actually turns out just fine.
Yeah.
So it's okay to let go sometimes. And everyone's like, well, I don't want something bad to happen. Well, something bad could happen anytime.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
true. And you cannot live your life paralyzed in fear.
True.
That's one of my biggest life lessons. I've lived a lot of my life in paralysis.
Yes.
My husband says paralysis by analysis. I'm like, I can't move. There's so many options. And what if one is the absolute right? And they're all so wrong.
Yeah.
And it's not like, it's okay to make mistakes. It's okay. And it's okay to, you know.
To learn from those mistakes and not do that again next time.
Exactly. And, you know, you are exactly the person that God picked for your kids.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many times where I've thought I'm the wrong one because I'm just failing or I'm, you know, whatever the case may be. And that's not true. I heard it said one time that God knew and gave me the exact personality traits, the exact attitude, the exact emotions, the exact upbringing, whatever the case may be, so I could be exactly who I need to be for my kids.
Yeah.
And I found, because I always feel like, oh, I'm the wrong pick. Like, this is just maddening. Like, you know, because I was raised, I had a blended family. I was raised by a single mom. And I came with a lot of baggage. Mm-hmm. And I just think, there's no way. Like, I'm just, this is... Like, really, this is nuts for me to have two kids with so much need and to have so many deficits myself. But that has nothing to do with anything. Like, there have been times where I felt trapped in my life. And I hate that word because once you, like, let that word in, it's just really...
Takes over.
It kind of does. And in those moments, I don't know what it is, but there's this shift that I choose to make where I feel trapped by my situation. Because I think it's never going to get better. It's not going to change. I'm going to lose one of my kids, you know?
Yeah.
And I go, no, I choose this. I choose this life. Because then you're taking back what's really actually yours. You're not trapped. At any point in time, this sounds terrible. I could stand up and walk out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I choose not to. I choose to love my kids. So it's a choice. You're not trapped. You have a choice, you know? And we're not victims.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I felt at times a lot like a victim. Spinal cord injury, I have a kid on the spectrum. We've had medical errors. You know, I had abuse as a kid. I'm not a victim, though. And I choose to do my life. I choose to keep going and engage. Mm-hmm. So, anyway.
Well, and accepting that power or accepting that control is powerful.
Mm-hmm.
To feel
like I'm okay.
Yeah.
You're in the driver's seat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. This was amazing.
Thank you so much.
I'm just sitting in the background crying the whole time.
I know.
Don't mind me. I don't feel like I talked at all because I was just crying.
We're soaking it all in.
Can I just tell you guys how much I appreciate the opportunity to just share what we can all do for these families and just hopefully, I hope somewhere that I encouraged like moms, I hope that I just really hope that moms and dads are encouraged to keep going and that they can see this through.
Yeah.
They can finish their race.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think, yeah. I'm not even a parent and I'm like, we've got this, you guys. Like the potential is there. Like, I just want to shout it from the rooftops.
Yep.
Because it's amazing and your story is so inspirational and
thank you.
You're wonderful and thank amazing.
You.
And
thank you. It's ever changing.
Yes.
Ever changing.
Yep. Wow. I am blown away.
She has like a way with words.
She does.
You know, among all of the other things that she's doing, she just has a way of speaking and talking about her journey that makes you cry and then makes you laugh and then you're inspired and then you just can't believe her life and what she's doing.
She's so passionate about sharing her story. And I mean, she was so grateful to be here with us. I mean, I feel like that feeling was totally equal. We couldn't believe that she came and shared her story with us and likewise. And we're just beyond grateful. And
yes,
if you guys took anything from this episode, please, for her, for us, leave a review for us, leave a review for her, reach out to her, give her some love, because we are in this together, and she is absolutely incredible.
I think she's going to keep doing some amazing things.
Yep.
We're going to hear her name more and more.
Yes, we will. Thanks. Thanks for being here, guys.
Okay, we'll see you next time.
So excited to work together and to help create confident kids all over the world and work towards a happier, healthier life. This is general information related to occupational therapy, pediatrics, sensory integration, and overall health and wellness. We do not know you or your child, therefore, we do not know any specific needs, therefore, you should always refer back to your pediatrician and occupational therapist.